The playoffs?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We played them the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were.
Listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
It's the All-Pro Bros Show. It's a sports show where we put you in the know of who are the bros and the misses, the losers, to those scared and winners, those in the game, to the set, to the match, alley oop, one for the crew. Every touchdown to bring you every virgin statistic. You caught up over, you missed it. You know the decisions, the opinions, the blow of the whistle, the flops, the fouls, and all of the issues. Every punch, every kick, every throw, every switch, every leap, every flip, every run, every twist. Stick it down in history. Each loss, each victory, those in the winner circle. To the losers bracket, Eddie Gretzky, Brady Ripken, Jordan and Magic. Whether it's a field goal or a shot in the basket, going for the gold or home runs, gonna talk that talk. Shoot with the pros, the All-Pro Pro Sports Show.
Yes, sir, you are now tuned to another episode of the All-Pro Pro Sports Show. This is your homeboy Triple, also known as DJ Triple Threat. Yeah, we about to get it in. NFL Week 2 recap. A lot has happened, and I am excited, yo. It's been a great 2 weeks so far in the NFL, though we can't really speculate or really say who's going to be on top. It's only been 2 weeks, y'all. So let's just enjoy football, the shenanigans of it all, and let's get it in. Let's talk about first things first. I want to start a little bit differently this week. I want to start with the standings. The standings are, they are what they are. Let's start by division. So in the AFC East, we have at number one, the Buffalo Bills are 1-1. Then at number two, we have the New England Patriots also at 1-1. And the Miami Dolphins also at 1-1. But then we have the New York Jets. They are 0-2. Unfortunately for them. One highlight, the Bills blew out the Dolphins with relative ease this week, while Miami had to deal with losing Tua Tagovailoa to injury in the game. Meanwhile, the Patriots had no trouble with a Jets squad that is looking like the worst team in the league so far. You never know. Zach Wilson is a new player. He's a rookie. He's hungry. He might want to change up the game. We'll see what happens in subsequent weeks. Then the AFC North, we have at number one. In fact, all the teams are 1-1. We have at number one, Cleveland Browns, then the Steelers, then the Bengals, and then the Ravens. The Browns responded to their opening loss to the Chiefs with a tough win over Houston. They beat them 31-21 in a game that was closer than expected. The Steelers dropped what seemed a very winnable game to the Raiders and are now tied with the Bengals, who couldn't compete against the comeback that was with Chicago, who won. AFC South, we have Houston Texans at number one and the Titans at number two. Both teams are 1-1. At 0-2 are both the Jaguars at number three and then the Colts. This division is not looking good at all. Houston gave the Browns a tough one and remains in first place with the only win in the division coming last week against the Jaguars. The Titans look to rebound this week against Seattle. But also, the Titans got their first win and a comeback against the Seahawks, beating them in overtime. Oh, that was an interesting finish at the end. AFC West, we have the Raiders at 2-0. And it's the second season in a row where the Raiders have started at 2-0. The Broncos are also 2-0 in second place in the AFC West. And then both at 1-1 apiece. We have the Chargers at number 3 and then the Chiefs at number 4. The Raiders and Broncos, they sit atop the AFC West as we all expected, honestly. But yo, it's only for the time being because the AFC West joins the NFC West with a 6-0 start to the season. And also the Chargers, they lost on a last second Cowboys field goal. That was a good game. I don't know if you guys saw that one, but good game for sure. And the Chiefs with, with a pretty good game played, but end up losing. at the end of the day. Then we have the NFC East with a Washington football team, the Ferocious W, the No Names, 1-1, making their name known as they won this past Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles also 1-1, and the Cowboys, how about them Cowboys, 1-1, with the Giants at 0-2, as we're not surprised about. The Eagles blew some big opportunities against the 49ers, and they dropped 1-1. The NFC is once again looking like it won't be a good division, but maybe the division winner gets over 500 by season's end. We will see. Moving on to the NFC North. The Chicago Bears are 1-1. Justin Fields took to the field, no pun intended this time, and helped them to eke out a win after Andy Dalton went down with a knee injury earlier in the game. The Detroit Lions lost on Monday night, so they are 0-2. The Packers won their game against the Lions, 1-1. Then the Minnesota Vikings are 0-2. I stated before, the Bears won, and they secured a first win for the division after a winless week one, holding off a Bengals comeback. The Vikings are facing the Cardinals, or they face the Cardinals, and the Lions played the Packers on Monday Night Football, as I said, as they had lost. Yo, Font is now in the building. What's going on, bro? I'm just going through the basically the winnings by division after week two. So I'm on the NFC North right now. So at the top of the NFC North, I didn't see this coming, or maybe you did. I don't know. I just said the Chicago Bears are 1-1, and all the other teams are 0-2 minus the Green Bay Packers are 1-1 after they beat the Lions. So technically, Green Bay should be number two, then Detroit Lions, then Minnesota Vikings. Moving on to the NFC South. How about the Carolina Panthers? They are 2-0, along with Tampa Bay at 2-0. New Orleans are 1-1. Who that dare going to beat them Saints? Well, they clearly lost already one game so far for the season. And then the Falcons are 0-2. But are you surprised the Dirty Birds are 0-2? I'm not. You?
No. Well, the Falcons, no, they're not going to be a good team. So
no,
but I mean, it's still early, but nah. I mean, I don't think they get far.
We'll see what happens. Then in the final division, NFC West, you got San Francisco at 2-0. I applaud them stepping it up. The Rams also 2-0, and also the Cardinals as well. Seattle Seahawks with 1-1. Once, as I said earlier, they lost in overtime, which is crazy. The NFC West joins the AFC West this week with a 6-0 start, as I said before. And the 49ers went into Philly and they held off the Eagles in spite of a lot of mistakes. And the Rams, they got a tough fight from the Colts, but nonetheless, they got a key road win with a late field goal. So lots of good football. That's where the divisions stand right now. I know some people like to break it down by the AFC and then the NFC, but I like the divisional picture. Just kind of gives you a greater understanding of the math broken down into different units and how each team is playing within their own division. There's a lot of stories to talk about from this past week. So Fonz, actually, I want to have you lead this part of the conversation with the many quarterback injuries, which is crazy. So talk about Tua with Miami Dolphins first.
Oh, boy. And that's crazy because they had beaten us the week before and then they just got slaughtered by Buffalo. And even Josh Allen didn't play that well, but then all of a sudden we know he's going out with an injury. And who else is injured? There's like...
There's a lot of them. So Tua had fractured ribs. He got popped really good. Andy Dalton had a knee injury, and that's what allowed for Justin Fields to come into the game and lead them to victory. And he's starting this Sunday, by the way. What do you think of Andy Dalton being injury prone as he is and having a knee injury? Do you think he'll be back?
Maybe, but you know, like you say, he's injury prone. This is gonna be, it's more of the same with him.
And currently, right now, the Chicago Bears are saying when he comes back, he'll start. But that's what they say for now. Because what if Justin Fields does really well this Sunday and impresses people? They'll probably be changing the tune at that point.
Yeah, for the keyword for now, I mean, I remember back in the day, Bledsoe got injured with that near life scare, and he was supposed to start when Brady took over, and we all know how that ended up. So, you know, in the best Phillies availability, if the other guys played a lot better, I take that with a grain of salt. So yeah, if Justin Fields takes over and he takes off, it's a wrap.
Exactly. Then also Carson Wentz got injured with two sprained ankles. Not one, two.
Yeah,
sprained ankles. You had to pause for a second.
He's another injury prone guy. I'm not too sure about him either.
And then we had Tyrod Taylor. He has a hamstring injury on the Texans. And as we know, Deshaun Watson is still in a heap of legal trouble. So they'll be putting in the third string to replace the both of them this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
And then Derek Carr, he had not so much an ankle injury, but he had a, you know, mess up. But he is expected to play this Sunday, but he is still listed as questionable, especially for those who have him on their fantasy football team. Just watch what happens between Thursday and Sunday, if you're going to put him in the game or not. And here goes Ben Roethlisberger. He has a bruised pectoral muscle. He doesn't know when he got injured, but he is expected to play for this Sunday. Now, Big Ben, do you think he should have retired?
Instead of y'all saying Brady should have retired years ago, that's the guy who should retire because he's actually the one getting injured. So, yeah, I kind of do believe that.
Yeah, but he is expected to play, like I said. So I think he'll be good to go for this Sunday. But let's definitely talk about Justin Fields, though. This will be his first start this Sunday when they play against Cleveland. And Cleveland has something to prove, obviously. From what you've seen with Justin Fields so far, what is your analysis of the young buck?
I mean, so far he looks decent, you know. I mean, time will tell what he looks like in the real game. So, so we'll see from that standpoint.
What I notice, he's very good on passing. He's good with the reads, but still has a lot to learn, you know. But we'll see, man, because he's a former Ohio State star, first-round draft pick. I know we wanted him on New England, but he got picked up by the Bears, you know. So this will be his testing ground, so to speak. With Cleveland, who I know is going to play him hard. Like I said before, they have something that they definitely want to prove. Another major story this week, and I'll let you take the lead on this one. Aaron Rodgers came back win, but they played against the Lions. I mean,
the Lions, I text you and I text Red. I was like, the old gangster song, he ain't doing this, bro. Boo, boo.
No more sabotage. Committing
sabotage. He wasn't committing sabotage, really. But for my hip hop heads, and then his hand sabotage song was off the oldest album from Gangsta, Rest in Peace Guru. Yeah, he apparently he wasn't doing that this week, but like you said, it was against the Lions. This proves nothing. You know, so we'll see what he does going forward against real competition, especially. You know, because I would like to say the right people got to him and all that other good stuff. I don't know. We don't. We have to. The evidence will tell in time. When the game ended and then he starts being real competition, then I'll say, okay, maybe the right people got to him and he thought better of it. But until that time comes, we'll see.
Exactly. I know one comment he was saying on a podcast on this past Monday, Pat McAfee. don't follow him, I think he has a very entertaining and hilarious podcast. He's also, he's a big wrestling fan. He's now on Friday Night SmackDown. Big shout out to him. He's a former football player too. So big shout out to Pat McAfee. Aaron Rodgers is one of his friends, and Aaron Rodgers was essentially saying like he's tired of people trying to figure out how he feels, or, you know, what is he doing when he's on the field personally, if he's actually trying to sabotage. You know what I'm saying? So Aaron Rodgers ain't having it. So your sabotage song, if he knew you said that, you would have been part of his wrath this past Monday on the Pat McAfee show.
Just clap it back, huh?
Yeah, it's a clap back. It's a clap back. It's a clap back.
That's funny. Darryl will play that in the verses against Fat Joe when he watched him. But yeah, that's another story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're going at 50. Yeah. But I mean, come on. We all know what Aaron Rodgers does. All of a sudden, he wins. He has these little sayings like, yeah, feels to get a win like that, you know, navigating through the BS. Like, come on, stop it. It's one win against the Lions. It was 17-10 during the halftime before you guys woke up, for crying out loud. Just and then saying. You lost to a guy who's average at best, because he got trounced by who did the Saints play?
The Saints.
Was it
I just said it too, and I already forgot. Okay. But I mean, nonetheless, it's only two games.
Was it Carolina?
I had to look it up. I had to look up week two. I didn't put it up in the script.
Yeah, because he didn't look that good in that game. So, you know, so what happened there? So, you know, so what are we doing? So, again, we have to see. We have to see more proof. And, yeah. You know, it's
you weren't here when I started the show, but I was just saying, it's only week two. We're not going to sit here and speculate a lot of stuff like some of the other talking heads have been doing on their particular shows on TV and podcasts. It's only week two, people. So we're not going to say, oh, Green Bay looked amazing against the Lions. Are they going to go to the playoffs? We're not doing all that. All the rest of y'all who do that, God bless y'all. We don't do that in the All Pro Bros. Give us at least a week eight. At least a week eight.
All right. Right, like, oh, the Pats look good. The Pats came back against the Jets.
like I said, Zach Wilson is a young dude, first year. He's hungry, but we'll see. The rest of his team got to step up because it's a team sport. It's not like basketball. The quarterback can go off. Let's say Lamar Jackson. But other than that, you know, how many players are going to go off like that?
Right, and you know, and of course we're Pats fans, but you know, it's week two, and yes, and I am, and it was a little surprising I bought that Casey gave him the 11-point lead and B-more ended up winning the game, but again, it's week two. But I will say Casey does have to work on that defense, though.
Defense was atrocious, halitosis, man.
Yeah, I feel that defense is going to catch up with them. Yeah, they won a couple years ago, but then last year they went to another one last year, but then they got trounced by Brady and the Buccaneers.
Oh, that was embarrassing. The amount of yards he lost, sheesh.
Yeah, that game was embarrassing. And look, and then even when they flashed the stats, we were looking at the game when they played the Ravens, if I recall, they said they had one of the worst numbers in the red zone, and it's even worse this started out this year. It's like that they need some work on that D. It's like, yes, you can score all the points you want, and that'll only get you so far. We, as Patriot Nation, we know about that. You know, the times when the D wasn't up to par until they put the D to surround Brady again before he won again. So you gotta have a balanced team, offense, defense, and special teams. Even as repetitive as that sounds, you have to have that.
Okay, you're turning into Fonz Belichick. Is that your new nickname?
Right. That's what I said. It may sound repetitive, like what Bill Belichick was saying, but it's true. You know what I mean? Yeah, you could win on one side of the ball, but it will only last for so long, and it won't be consistent. You to have consistent winning, to at least be in a conversation for championships every year. And to have a chance to win titles every now and again, while being competitive consistently, you got to have those three things.
Exactly. I mean, here's Lamar's stats. This dude balled out. This is his fourth game. He has four games surpassing over 200 yards and 100 yards, 200 yards passing, excuse me, and 100 yards rushing. He had 239 passing yards this game. He had a touchdown. He did throw for two interceptions, though. But nonetheless, that's an NFL record. He's only 24 years old. And the way he's playing, I will say about Lamar Jackson, the way he's playing in these two games versus all of last season, he's like, he wants to prove something, you know?
Not legit. And those two interceptions, he still has to take care of the ball better. But yeah, I am impressed. He did throw for more than 200 yards. That's at least he's getting somewhere. If you can throw at least 200 yards, that gets to the 300 range, that's saying something. Because I've seen a lot of times the stats will just be in the 100 plus category, just under 200. It's like hovering. It's like that means you're running too much. Yeah, you gotta make those throws. You gotta make large throws. You got, you know, big throws when it counts. And, you know, not just airing out with accuracy. You know, so hopefully he's learning that. Hopefully that'll be part of the repertoire going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's the third. No, he's the second player in NFL history with 200 passing yards and 100. Rushing yards and two rushing touchdowns in a game. And he joins Colin Kaepernick, who also did so against the Packers in the divisional round of the 2012 season. So he's in good company with that, you know. We'll see. But I agree with you. He should increase those throwing yards while rushing, running, getting those rushing yards when he needs to. Like if you see a pocket is open, you can run it, go for it. But I agree with you. I think he's doing that already, though. I mean, four games so far between this season and last season, this season, I think he's doing that.
Well, he's trying to put something together. You got to be. We said it before. You got to be. You don't want to be a running QB. You want to be a QB that runs and that happens to run. And so that's important. Now, but the thing is that the interceptions, though, the fumbles. There's been a couple of those. He has to take care of the ball better, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, even though he is trying to increase on that side, but he's still got to take care of the ball, a little better than what you've been doing the first couple.
That's true. So,
yeah, I mean, because Casey could have won this game. It's just like Casey threw the game. Let's keep the rack. They threw the game away. They were up by 11. They should have won that game. They basically threw it away because Lamar, even though he had decent yardage, but he didn't play particularly. He didn't play. His play wasn't 100% because of those turnovers. Mm-hmm. Because when defense was working there, and they were able to actually protect him the run, so not give him the 11-point lead, they would have pulled away.
Yeah, I mean 1 point. That's crazy. But, they lost by 1 point. So
yeah, so they cost.
I mean, any given Sunday, like the old school Jamie Foxx movie, you know what I'm saying? But let's talk about some of the other injuries, and then let's jump into talking about week three. So some of the other injuries that were last week, the Panthers, they have Morgan Fox. He's a defensive end. He had limited participation in practice so far this week. But also we had, I'm about to butcher this guy's name, also from the Panthers, Yetur Gross-Matos, another defensive end. He has an ankle injury as well. Some other injuries for the Texans. Terrence Mitchell had a concussion. Kamu Grugier-Hill had a knee injury. And Justin Reed also had a knee injury. Danny Amendola had a thigh injury. I saw the replay of that. Did not look good, and he is out. So all three of those dudes, Terrence Mitchell, Watson, Amendola are out for this coming game against the Panthers, with Hill and Reed being questionable. So those are some of the injuries I see listed right now, according to NFL.com. So let's jump into week three, yo. So we just spoke about that Texans and Panthers game. That is tomorrow on the NFL Network and also will be on the Yahoo Sports app for those who don't have the NFL Network. How do you feel about this game?
What game is it? What are the teams again?
Panthers and Texans. Panthers are 2-0. Texans are 1-1.
It's gonna be a heck of a game.
Oh, that's for sure.
It's gonna be a heck of a game. I mean, I look to see what both sides of all three sides of the ball are doing for each team. I mean, we know Watson is still suspended until
further notice. Legal troubles. Yep.
Who was taking over, and then even with the Panthers, you know, like because they're both 1-1, so you know, we'll you know, the evidence will tell.
Panthers are 2-0.
Oh, damn, Panthers are 2-0. Yeah, excuse me.
Yep.
Yeah, they beat the Saints. And so yeah, so we'll see.
So the Texans do have their third string in, so that's Deshaun. The second string is in because Deshaun Watson was declared their third string QB because he's out suspended. So their second string QB is in since Tyrod Taylor is out. So we'll see how they'll play with their second string once their third string being out there. But we'll see what happens. He might ball out. We'll see. So this Sunday, September 26th, we have the Colts versus the Titans. The Falcons will be playing against the Giants. The Giants are 0-2. So are the Falcons. Someone's going to come up with a win, finally. The Chargers play against the Chiefs. The Bengals and the Steelers. You know, someone's going to get into a fight in that game because they don't, those two teams, those franchises don't like each other. So, yeah, I'm going to watch that game. Then the Bears and the Browns, that's going to be another good game. So my dad, for like my phone here, my computer here, and watching TV there, watch three different games at the same time. Then we also have the Ravens and the Lions. That should be a win for the Ravens, right?
You would think so, but any given Sunday, remember?
Exactly. Oh, no, just picking on the Lions. It's too easy.
Yeah, they only have a game every Thanksgiving, even though they suck for a while. Like,
yeah, it's true. Then the Saints will be...
I kind of feel for Lions fans in a way. I kind of do feel for them.
You ain't lying, if I'm intended. Then we have the Saints who will be right here in New England. Now, who that? It's like, yo, shut up. You're in New England. So they'll be here this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Cardinals and Jaguars, then the Washington no-name Decatur Washington football team will be playing against the Bills. Both teams are 1-1. The 0-2 Jets will be playing against the Denver Broncos in the 4-5 game. The Dolphins and the Raiders will play. That's going to be a good game. Then you have the Seahawks and the Vikings. The Vikings need to win. They're 0-2. Then the Buccaneers playing against the Rams. Both teams are 2-0. That is on Fox. You know that's going to be pretty much played everywhere throughout the nation. That's one of the games of the week, in my opinion. Then you have the Packers and the 49ers. That should be a good one. That is the Sunday night game. The Monday night game next week is the Eagles and the Cowboys. Both teams are 1-1. What's your hot take with the Bucks and the Rams?
I'm still. It could go either way. I still make him Brady though.
Of course, you pick him Brady or his lawyer. I mean, the Rams have good defense from what I see so far, man.
So do the Bucks.
And with the Rams, it's not like they're running up the score, but they have a good offense as well. But so do the Bucks, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the Rams also had a good offense the years before, like a couple of years before. And, you know, we shut them down, and they also, in the Super Bowl both times, and they also didn't make the Super Bowl when they, you know, they lost to the likes of KC and others. So, you know, it's the same story, you know.
So it's fair to say they're evenly matched.
Right. But as Brady being my client, I represent his best interests. I'm going to win.
No, speaking of Brady, what's up with these Subway commercials, man? He don't eat bread.
I was talking to him about that. I'm like, well, yo, Brady, what's up with this, man? You gotta at least do commercials of what you believe in, man. Come on, what are we doing here?
Now he has the new, Brady.
Because he's talking about, because he wants to relate to the common man. I'm like, I get that. You want to relate to the common man, but you could, you know, do smoothie commercials, things of that nature, health commercials, and you ain't gotta
green tea.
Really do, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess somewhere you can sell, they can sell some type of health or something, maybe, but I don't know. Yeah, he's doing his own thing on that. What can I say? Yo, as long as I get my cut.
Yo, we got to talk about the local game, the Saints at the Patriots. So I got to ask you this. Are you believing the Jameis Winston hype yet? Are you drinking the Kool-Aid of Winston?
No, that he, it all. No, he just messed up. Didn't they play the Panthers? He just messed up in that game because he looked good when Rodgers tried to sabotage the first game of the season. Before the right people might have gotten to him, he didn't look that good last game. So so what hype is there to buy into? now I would tell you, it probably is not going to be 30 for 30. It won't be like that, but still, maybe he has a better coach. I believe that the interceptions maybe cut in half to maybe 15 or something like that, but We got to see how well those touchdowns, how many touchdowns he throws and how well he progresses.
That's true. Before there's
any type of hype to buy into, what I mean?
Because so far, I'm looking at the stats. He's thrown for over 259 yards.
First two games?
Yep. So 259, but he's been sacked 4 times so far already. He's thrown for 2 interceptions, but he has thrown for 5 touchdowns, but that's probably all from the first game against the Packers, where they only had that 1 field goal. So,
right. But he only has the 2 interceptions I've been doing from Sunday's game. And I don't even know if he threw for a touchdown in this game. I mean, they had 7 points on the board, but I don't know if that was because he threw for a touchdown.
I may have been 1, may have 4 the other game. I don't see the breakdown. I see the overall right now looking at it. Then Alvin Kamara he's run for 88 yards. So he's not doing what he was doing last season so far. So we'll see, man. Then you have the Patriots. Let me look up their stats.
Mac Jones.
Who? Young people like, what?
But and even though the yards are a little less in terms of what he threw for, but they did well, so they didn't need him to throw for a lot of yards because the defense was all over him. I feel that they could have opened it up a little bit more for him, and he could have thrown for more, especially when you were up by a couple scores or a few scores, just to see where the kid's at.
Yeah,
the first game they had to put the pressure on him, and they just fell short. But the second game, it's like you were ahead, so you could have taken a few more shots. But it felt like it was still playing the conservative. Now they won, so it doesn't matter. But I'm saying, like, for a teaching moment, they could have had him throw for, downfield a few times to see, where his accuracy's at.
Yep. Well, he's thrown for 467 yards so far, which is pretty impressive. Then we have Damian Harris has rushed for 162. And then James White has 94 receiving yards. Right behind him is Nelson Aguilar with 93. And then Myers with 82. So they're putting up numbers, though I want to see them increase the amount of numbers they put up. I mean, we're spoiled. You and I are spoiled, right? Because remember the Patriots were running up the board. Remember those days?
Yeah, remember those days, like BD Siegel and Eve, but also remember the days when they sucked. That was a long time ago. So
you don't talk about those days, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
like what days are those? Don't open that curtain there.
Yeah, don't talk about the Chicago Bears nightmare. We ain't talking about 86.
Yeah, well, after 86 in the early 90s, but yeah. Don't look behind that curtain.
Yeah, that's when it went all downhill.
Go from 93 on when Bledsoe came and made us relevant.
And then pretty much.
2001 when Brady made us a winner. Like that's what pretty much was, because yeah, it's true. Words games that I remember. I told you the stories when the family friend we were when he was driving cabs. Like I was driving cab. He was driving cab on the weekends. He would bet with his cab book or whatever, and it was so bad. Trying to just win it, they hardly were winning. Then he never picked the Wiggler. And I had to stop picking them. I said, okay, this is garbage. Like we're not going anywhere. You know, eventually what we won 80 bucks. You know, for picking everything right, we quit because we had to stop picking. At least I did. I said I had to face reality. It was so bad. The team was so bad. They won only one or two games a year. So we're praying that they don't go back to those times. I don't think we will.
No. Mac Jones is a great prospect. I was actually excited when they picked him in the draft. So I did some research on him beforehand. Though everyone was clamoring for Justin Fields, like I said earlier. I'm happy that Mac Jones is in the building. And in the building, we now have Red in the building. So while he is what's going on, Red, with a red shirt on?
Hey, everybody.
So let's actually talk about what we think of some of the picks of this week, of week three for best games. I'm going to say Steelers and Bengals. And Browns and Bears are definitely going to be two really good games. And the Sunday night game, I mean, the Buccaneers and Rams game is also going to be good.
That'll be a good game. And I feel we'll do well against the Saints. At least we should be.
We should. I mean, if the Patriots completely blow it, then it's man, come on. So,
well, the Saints have always had an iffy defense.
That's true. And now they have an iffy offense.
Yeah, because the first week they've had they look great. You know, they look fantastic against Aaron Rodgers and them boys. And then the second week there's they're nowhere to be found. So it just sort of depends from what I can tell. Which offense and which defense? Well, I mean, the defense have always been questionable, but which offense is going to show up?
The offense looked good for against Aaron Rodgers when he was committing sabotage.
That's more the NFL ESPN sound, though. But yeah.
Man was committing sabotage, clearly. Thinking the right people might have got to him. We're saying might, because, he played against the Lions. So that's to be determined. We have to look a few games in before we make a determination if he really got the message.
But they're playing against a 2-0 49ers team who, in general, they're looking like they don't want to be what they were last year. You know what I'm saying? The 49ers want a win. You know, in fact, when you look at a comparison right now, big shout out to NFL.com. I'm looking at a comparison right now between both teams. On offense, the Packers are 29th, 49ers are 18th on offense. Packers are 10th on defense, but the 49ers are 19th on defense. 49ers are 15th on passing. Packers are 27th. And 49ers are 9th on rushing. The Packers are 28th on rushing. The only reason why the offense and the passing and the rushing is so low for Green Bay is that horrendous first game they played against the Saints. Had they played better, their stats should match, if not be higher, my personal opinion, because of the personnel they have on the team. But what do you guys think of that?
Question: it's still, right now, it's still to be determined on which Green Bay is gonna show up. Because again, with that whole fiasco with Aaron Rodgers, it's like I said, I don't put nothing past Green Bay, but you know, so it's one of those like I honestly don't know. It just sort of depends on which Green Bay is gonna show up. Is it gonna be serious Green Bay, like we saw on Monday night, or is it gonna be, you know, the Green Bay that we saw 2 weeks ago?
Green Bay is sabotage.
Yeah. So honestly, I don't know. So we'll see once the season progresses on, like, you know, like, is it like, you know, is it the serious Green Bay, or is it just, you know, I don't know what I want to do, just shit Green Bay.
Yeah.
So time will tell.
Well, I mean, Green Bay is a top market team. I mean, since the 1960s, like, sheesh. So you have who many consider to be one of the most athletic and successful quarterbacks in the current era, who hasn't really won. He hasn't won more than one ring, but people consider him to be better than Brady. But in terms of his athleticism, and then, like I said, you have a big market team like Green Bay. So putting on my football conspiracy hat, NFL ain't gonna allow Green Bay to go down like no sucker.
That's true. When you're talking about someone like Brady, like, are you talking about like stats wise? Because again, Brady has a lot more. If you talk about you know, the more successful quarterbacks in the league, you have nobody better than Brady. But if you talk about pure athleticism, Rodgers has got him beat by a mile.
Oh yeah, that's what I just said. Stats wise, Brady is better. Athletically, yeah. Rodgers is better. But people always look at stats and rings, unfortunately, in today's scope of football. We have a lot of fair weather fans. They look at what they can see, but they don't actually do the research and look at tape and actually pay attention to how each quarterback performs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. I understand.
Yeah, because a lot of people, like Stephen A. of the world, say, oh, Rodgers is a bad, but he's only gotten done once. So
yeah,
that's the problem.
Last year, when they played against Tampa in the NFC Championship, they should have won.
They should have.
Yeah,
they both were giving the game away. It was crazy, like. And even as Brady's lawyer, he's giving me a cut. He gave me a percentage. He's sending that in the mail later. the only game that he had that was questionable out of the whole playoffs, because he played a very good playoffs, was that game. The stat, the yardage was there and all that, but he threw three picks. And it seems like they were just being forced. Like, that was so. Like they were throwing the picks to them, and I just gave it back, whether it was turnovers or just turnover downs or putting it away. It was like that. It's like neither of them wanted to win the game for a while. That was crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do. And you're right, because you're right. Out of all the playoffs, that NFC Championship, he looked, you know, absolutely horrendous. And I'm like, that's not the Brady that I remember from like, you know, a few years ago, but still, he just looked. Yeah. He just looked. If God could be awful, he was that.
Yeah. Like the yardage was there. Like, you look at the yardage was there. He definitely threw for some good yards, but like, and the three picks and I can't, like, he was cooking the first half. The second half, he was just throwing picks left. It was just the way he was forcing the ball. I'm like, what is this? And you know, so they could have easily lost that game if Green Bay was actually trying to concentrate. They put a look of concentration to actually go ahead. Because that game ended up being 31-26, if I remember, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Green Bay, I think all they had to do was just get a touchdown to win the game, but they obviously didn't.
But
yo, Red, now that you're here, I want to have you give a take on Tua and his fractured ribs. I know you spoke about Tua in the past. even on his college days, even before he debuted. So I would love to know, what is your take on Tua in lieu of what you said early last summer?
Well, Tua, I think he's a good player, don't get me wrong. And despite, you know, him playing with the Pats arch rivals, Tua can actually ball. He was the product of, you know, as many people know, under Nick Saban, and he was actually pretty, and he actually, you know, did really well. But the only problem, which I found kept very interesting, that anybody was going to take a risk on him, because he had just literally dislocated his hip just before the draft, and so it was a huge risk for Miami to at least, you know, try to take him. But from what I can tell, he was going to be a good quarterback in this league. Okay, now as far as his injury, he got cracked.
Literally, like, you know,
figuratively. My man took a bruising off of that hit, and so I think as of right now, I don't think anything's broken, but he's got a bruised rib, and that's going to take some time to heal. Yeah. And after like, you know, a major hit, like, you know, dislocating your hip, and then the following season, you know, then, like, you know, about two seasons later, you got a bruised rib. Yeah, he's definitely gonna you definitely gotta keep your eyes on him if he's gonna be injury prone, because, you know, you have two major injuries and you got two back to back major injuries. Yeah, you got to keep your eyes out on him for that one.
So, I mean, it changes the complexity of how they will play going forward.
Yes.
Now that they're back up, I literally had his name in my head earlier. It's now in. I forget the guy's name. You guys remember the backup to the Dolphins?
Jacoby Brissett.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's taking the place of Tua this Sunday. He's a good player.
But yeah, he came from the Pat system.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. So, yo, other news. I just saw this. This is just hearsay right now. But according to, let me get the source correct. According to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, the Lions are exploring trade options for veteran linebacker Jamie Collins after he led the NFL. The Lions with 101 tackles in 2020. The 31-year-old might be on his way out from Detroit.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
He was with the Pats, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was with the Pats twice.
Yep. Yeah, he was. So he might be on his way out from the Lions. So, I mean, 101 tackles last year. Yeah, Mr. Belichick. Let's make a call to Belichick. Bring him back.
Bring him back a third time.
Why not? So yeah, I just saw that.
He's still productive.
He is. I'm not sure exactly why. But right now, like I said, it's just speculation. I'm pretty sure Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network has good connections, but we'll see what happens. We can confirm that, or it will be confirmed either way, even if you don't get back to it. You know what I'm saying? So, another news: the nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame were just announced today. All 130 of them. Yes, we ain't announcing all 130 names, but let's talk about some of the notable names. So for quarterback, for nominees right now, Donovan McNabb and Steve McNair are on the list.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right, rest in peace, Steve McNair.
Yep.
Honestly, I thought you would have been in there sooner.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Oh, hey. For running back, you got Sean Alexander, Tiki Barber, Eddie George, Steven Jackson, Corey Dillon, Priest Holmes, Jamal Lewis, Fred Taylor, and Brian Westbrook, among others. For wide receiver, we have Anquan Boldin, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, my homie, Troy Brown, Torrey Holt, excuse me, formerly Ocho Cinco, a.k.a. Chad Johnson, Reggie Wayne, the homie Wes Welker, Patriots fame, and Hines Ward. Man, I haven't heard that name since Dancing with the Stars.
I know.
The last thing I remember him from. So
wait, Troy Brown is on that list?
Yeah, he's nominated. These are so basically the official voting is now, but it won't be finalized till like January next year. So we won't know the official people going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame until next year. But these are just some of the notable nominees out of like almost 122 names. 122 modern era names. That's what the headline says, announced for the Hall of Fame of Class of 2022. Let me just read some more. So for offensive linemen, Jake Long, Nick Mangold, and Tony Boselli. And for defensive linemen, we have Robert Mathis, Vince Wilfork, Jared Allen, Richard Seymour, and Justin Tuck. Teams, you got Josh Cribbs out of others. Linebacker, DeMarcus Ware, Teddy Bruschi, I thought he was already in it. CM Mills, Zach Thomas, and Patrick Willis, excuse me. And for defensive back, Antonio Cromartie. Rondy Barber, Leroy Butler, Darren Woodson, and Asante Samuel also.
Samuel. And the one before was Rondé Barber. He was the twin brother of Tiki.
Oh, yeah, twin brother. Yeah, Tiki. Yeah.
So basically, hold on. Before you get to your point, there's a fan vote. So if people want to be a part of the fan vote, you can go to www.profootballhof.com/fanvote and put in your fan votes for who you believe should be in the Hall of Fame. Your vote, our voting as fans, may influence the sway of the official voting. We'll see. And to see the full list of all of the nominees, profootballhof.com. So I think it's pretty cool they announced it today, September 22nd. So
that was good because you know, like a lot of rumors that about Patriots players not being mainly being just Patriot Hall of Famers, but not in the actual, you know, Canton Hall of Fame. It was because, oh, they're part of the Belichick system. They wouldn't be good anywhere else. But now that, you know, I like that quite a few of those names are getting recognition, because even some that left, people said, oh, Belichick cut them a year too early. Then a year too late. So that's not necessarily true for all of them. Some left and actually were productive other places. Like my man, Ty Law, who's in the Hall of Fame right now. Asante Samuel, who you just called.
He was very productive on the team he was on afterwards, you know?
Yeah, but he was past his prime, but still.
But still nonetheless.
Yeah, he was past his prime. That would... Yeah. He was gonna play those 3 years and retire anyway. But yeah, he didn't put up. And then you know the Richard Seymours and people like that. So yeah. I'm glad. I'm hearing names like that, and hopefully the grace of God they do get in because they do deserve to get in.
That's true. Yeah. So there will be 18 finalists, which will be presented to the full 49-member Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee during its annual meeting. So it's going down from 122 down to 18 and then the final number. So yeah, and the actual ceremony will be August 8 of 2022. So yeah, we're like a whole 11 months early, but nonetheless.
Yeah, because if you got dwindle it down, it's like, you know, from what was 122 to 18. Yeah. So you gotta at least, you know, take some time and carefully pick who you want in the Hall of Fame, so that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, and even down to the 18 finalists. Yeah, so that's a lot to consider for each player. So, yeah, man, I think that's pretty much it. I think week 3 is going to be good. He says a few key notable games. I'm expecting next week to at least talk about one ejection from the Bengals Steelers game because they stay scrapping. And yeah, I think my prediction for the Rams and Bucks, I'm going for the Bucks. I think Brady's just going to go on a tear. Some people are predicting they're going to be undefeated, especially the fact they kept all 22 of their starters, though Antonio Brown is on the COVID-19 list. He's out potentially for this Sunday's game. He's quarantining right now. So we'll see what happens with that. So yeah. You guys have any final thoughts about the NFL week two?
So they said the Bengals and Steelers game. Are you predicting?
They give you a sabotage. Stop if she gets muted. This is dude. What about you, Red? Red, any final thoughts on week two of the NFL?
But I say we'll see how everything works out because I'm actually looking forward to seeing Brady versus the Rams. I'm also even seeing how the Pats look against New Orleans. Because again, you know, the first two games I saw, you know, they look pretty good. They've looked good. Even though despite, you know, the Pats lost week one, but they only lost by a point. And even still, like, you know, yeah, because that was a really silly mistake on the running backs part. But, you know, I think the Pats had a good chance of winning. And then they actually handled the Jets pretty well. But, you know, the Jets are the Jets. So let's call it what it is. They're not that good, but they're still a professional team.
Yep.
And like I said, you know, given the whole thing with New Orleans, we just got to see which New Orleans team shows up. Because again, we're not sure if, you know, if week one Saints are going to show up or last week Saints are going to show up.
Well, you know, random Saints. Hey, come marching in. Hey, will they lose or will they win?
Oh, no. Is will they be good or will they suck? Because again, like I said, let's call for what it is. They look good week one. Week two, they're like, you know, you talk about, you know, Jameis Winston back to, you know, 2018, 2019 Jameis Winston. Where it's like, you know, you had the 30 touchdowns, but also the 30 interception Jameis Winston. So,
But now he has LASIK surgery now, so he's able to see better now, supposedly.
Yeah, okay, we'll see. Like, and yes, everyone intended.
We'll see what happens by the end of the season. If that surgery was worth it, he might be blind like a bat still in his line, but you never know. So, alright, well, this has been another episode of the All Pro Bro Sports Show NFL Week 2 Recap. It's your boy Triple.
It's your boy Red.
Master Davis,
aka Brady's Lawyer, aka I know you have a lot of nicknames at the end of the season, man. Yo, we'll see y'all next time. Peace.